Perak Yutes Mishnah Beis. Osin kal tzarchi mila b'shabbos. One is permitted to do all the things necessary for a bris mila when it falls out on Shabbos. Moalin, one can do the actual bris by cutting off the foreskin, cutting off the arla. Upartin, and they could cut the skin, this thin skin underneath the arla that they would cut in order to reveal the tip of the gid, the tip of the aver. That's the priya. Umozitzin, they can suck out the blood. Benosin aleha is blunis, one can put a bandage on the baby's wound to heal the baby. Vekamon, they would put cinnamon on the baby in order to heal the baby. However, you should grind the cinnamon before Shabbos. In below Shabbat Meir Shabbos, what happens if one did not grind it before Shabbos? Then loas b'shina v'nosi and chew it up in your mouth and then put it onto the baby, because best is to do it with a shinoi once you didn't grind it before Shabbos. Similarly, they used to take wine and oil and mix it up together to make some kind of concoction that would heal the baby. What happens in Lotar of Yain Vishaman Meir Shabbos? He didn't have a chance to mix the wine and the oil before Shabbos in order to make this healing remedy. So Yinasi and Zeba Asmo, Zeba Asmo. What you should do is put them into two separate utensils. And if they happen to get mixed up together, then they get mixed up together. But the idea is to put them in separate utensils, to pour it on the baby, and then whatever happens afterwards, happens afterwards. Because we don't want to let you mix it now on Shabbos. The Enosin law, you cannot make for the bris mila a chalak l'chatchila. They used to make this tiny little garment that they would put on top of the baby's aver, the baby's gid, in order that the skin should not grow back and cover it up. So you can't make this special garment on Shabbos. It should have been made before Shabbos. But let's just say you didn't do it. So what you could do is aval korich alav smartut. You can get a small little cloth, and you can use that and tie it around the baby on Shabbos, and that will serve in place of this special chaluk, the special garment that would hold back the skin from growing back. What happens in lohiskin meir of Shabbos? Even this, the smartut, this cloth, you didn't have a cloth around the house. So now what do? So you could do is korich alav spo, maybe you can go and tie it around your finger, and then bring it, you know, to the place where the bris mila is. And even though you're carrying outside, we permit it as long as you tie it around your finger, so it looks like a malbush, looks like a garment, looks like you're wearing like a piece of clothing. So it's not as bad. And therefore, you know, you're barely even carrying because you have this thing wrapped around your finger, and it's for the bris, so therefore we'd be lenient. Va'afilu mechatzah acheres. And not only can you bring it, you know, from another, let's just say you're in the courtyard and you want to bring it from a house. And the house, you didn't make an eruv to connect it to the courtyard. So that's permitted. You can still bring it from the house. And even have another chatzar. Let's just say the chatzar is across town. You could even bring it from that chatzar as well. Even though they're not connected, you didn't make an eruv to attach it. We permit it because it's for the bris mila on Shabbos. And then they bring that opinion here that even through a public domain, it's permitted to carry this item on Shabbos. Because you're doing it for the bris mila, and you're also wrapping it around your finger to look, to show it like, to show that you're wearing it like a garment, and therefore they permit it. So the idea here is that we're permitting many things on Shabbos when a bris mila falls out on Shabbos, because bris mila is doche, pushes off Shabbos. Moving right along to Mishnah Gimel, marchitzin esakatan, you can bathe the baby on Shabbos with hot water. Bein lefnei amila, bein la'achar amila, whether it's before the bris or after the bris, you can do that on Shabbos. Umezalfin alav biyad, and the Gemara explains that when you bathe the baby, you should spritz the water on him with your hand, meaning you should make a shinoi instead of just putting him in the bath, but spritz it with your hand. So there's a little bit of a shinoi over here. Avaloba kli, not with a kli. Because even if you're going to use the kli to do the spritz, it's also a problem. Don't use the utensil at all. Because once you use the utensil, it's more official. Use your hand and do it as a shinoi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Elazar ben Azariah says, Marchitzin asakatan v'yom ha'shlishi. He says you can bathe this kid on the third day before the bris, the third day from when he's born. Shechal liot b'shabbos, and the third day falls out on Shabbos. What's the significance of the third day? So we're going to see in a moment, but here he points out that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is arguing on the Tanakhama in two regards. Number one, that you can bathe the baby the normal way, not just by spritzing it with your hand. And number two, that according to the Tanna Kamma, you can only do this on the day of the Bris, right? He also, even on the third day, you can bathe the baby in the hot water. So you can bathe them, whether the hot water was warmed up before Shabbos or on Shabbos. He says you could do this on the third day, just like on the eighth day, because Shenemar, the Pasuk says, by the men of Shechem, where Shimon and Levi went and killed out the whole town. So how did they kill out the whole town? They fooled the whole town into making a bris milah. And then on the third day, when they were in pain. And it was on that third day that they went and they killed them all because they were in so much pain. So you see, the third day is a very painful day for the baby. And it's a day of sakanas nefashas. It could be life-threatening. Therefore, he permits these things even on the third day for the baby. And not only that, we said he also is lenient regarding bathing the baby, that you don't have to do a shinoi and you can do it directly, like normally bathe the baby. And the Kahati explains over here that this is how we paskin, like Rabbi Ben Azariah, that you can use hot water on Shabbos, whether it was warmed up before Shabbos or on Shabbos, and you could bathe the baby whether you do his whole body or you just do part of the body. Meaning, not just the place where the bris is, you could bathe his entire body, because it's a sakana for the baby. Okay. So we have 2 days now. We have the bris mila day, the eighth, and the third day. Okay. Suffolk. What happens if you have a suffolk? So, a couple of different ways to explain this. Either you have a baby that's a suffolk, whether it was born, 7 months, or was born 8 months, and the idea is that you don't know, if it was born the 7th month from when, if it's born the 7th month or in the 8th month, because if a baby is born the 7th month, it can still live. If it's born the 8th month, it's called the Eino Ben Kiyuma. It's possible it's not going to live. So therefore, we're in doubt now whether there's a livable baby or not, and therefore, who says I could desecrate Shabbos, do a bris mila if the baby's, if it's doubtful if the baby's even going to live. So 7th month, it would live. 8th month, normally it would not. That's one type of suffolk. Or another type of suffolk is you don't know if it's the 8th day, or if it's the 9th day. You got confused, when the baby was born. Sometimes babies are born bein hashmashos, during twilight, and you don't know, what day of the week it is, and therefore, not necessarily is the 8th day actually on Shabbos, you're not sure. So it's a suffolk. Another case would be an androgynous. Androgynous is a baby that has the siman of the symbols of a male and a female. It's very rare, but it could happen, and therefore you don't know, what is he? Is he a male or a female? So these kind of cases, we have these doubts. Ain mechal alav as a Shabbos. You can't desecrate Shabbos to do a bris mila on these babies because it's only a suffolk. And therefore, we're not lenient. But Rabbi Yehuda Matir ben Androgynous, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, by an androgynous, he is lenient. So he doesn't say about the other case about, you don't know what, what month the baby was in or what day the baby was in. So I don't know what he will hold over there. But an androgynous, he is lenient, because the pasuk says, "Himo lachem kol zachar," circumcise for yourself all males. And Huda Darshan's kol zachar, all males, is coming to include an androgynous. But the Tanna Kamma learns, he says, no. It says, "Ubi yomash min," in the 8th day, "yumo basar ala," so you should circumcise the baby. It's mishu kulei aral, one who is totally aral. I mean, all he has is this arla. That's where the 8th day will be push of Shabbos. This excludes an androgynous that he's not all arla, he's chatzi nekeva, he's got the symbols of a woman also, and therefore his mila does not push of Shabbos. And if there's a case where you actually have an androgynous, we actually are stringent like the Tanna Kamma, where we don't desecrate the Shabbos to do the bris mila. And that concludes Mishnah Gemara.